fishing business. Participating today in the Saginaw Valley College Oral History Project is Mr. George Leffler, who was a commercial fisherman for 40 years. George, how long would you say that commercial fishing was a thriving business here in the Sebring area?
Oh, possibly near 100 years.
And it isn't that way now?
No, it's practically distinct.
Since when do you think had the fishing business started going down?
Well, back in the 50s, I would say that we noticed that the fish were getting depleted, more or less.
What is the cause of the fish being depleted?
Well, let's say that the fish, the walleyes, was our main fish. That was our main fish. We caught walleyes by the tons.
Mm-hmm.
And
what kind of fish is a walleye?
Walleye is commonly known as pickerel.
Mm-hmm.
Or perch pike.
How large a fish is it?
Oh, those fish, they vary all the way from nothing up to 14 pounds. 14 pounds is a very large walleye.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, well, there was certainly a small size where you weren't allowed to...
That's right. We were allowed to take a 15-inch walleye for market.
Mm-hmm. And how much would a 15-inch weigh?
About a pound and a quarter, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Well, what happened to the walleyes?
Well, there were plenty of walleyes, and what made plenty of walleyes was a man by the name of Bob Ellsworth. He came here from the Conservation Department and told us he could build up the walleyes in Saginaw Bay,
mm-hmm.
in which he did. He done a very good job with the help of the commercial fishermen. We got together and we really filled the walleyes up.
Now, when was this about?
This was back about in the 1929-30 when he came here.
Well, what did he do?
Well, he had us to bring in the spawn.
Mm-hmm.
We would take the ripe male fish and take the spawn from them, and we would fertilize them with the male fish. And bring them in, and they would take them to the hatchery and hatch those eggs.
This was sort of like artificial breeding?
This was artificial hatching, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And they did this for about 10 years. And it really improved our fishing. It was wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Well, what caused the walleyes to disappear now?
They quit hatching. They just simply would not hatch any more walleye eggs.
You used the same process that you had been using.
Yes. And they just discontinued the hatching of walleyes. And then they started to deplete.
Well, do you feel now that that this is probably due to pollution?
Natural spawning, I would say.
Mm.
There was no more natural spawning because due to pollution that the eggs would not hatch. And if they'd have kept on artificial hatching, we'd have had a lot of walleyes today.
How many families were involved in the commercial fishing here at that time?
Well,
it was really a thriving business.
Well, when this was a thriving business, I would say there was anywhere 40 to 50 families that made a living out of fishing.
Mm-hmm. And could you name who were some of the
some of the real fishermen. There was no big fishing business here. No one man had a big fishing business.
No, it was all individual.
It was all individual fishermen, and there was families like Ed Yar had a fishery, Charlie Tradup, Adrian Bounding, Norman Dutcher, Bob Sharpstein, Leffler and Geiger, Charlie Stumnitz, Graves Brothers, Pitcher Brothers, Seller Brothers, William D. Dutcher, and there was many more smaller fishermen, such as one and two man outfit.
Mm-hmm. And some of these men, in addition, probably their sons had other gunmen that they would have.
Most all these names I mentioned had from one to two hired men on the boat.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
they were the actual.
They were.
They
the
had
actual.
The money involved in the boats and the and
yes,
the nets
yes.
and everything.
They were the. These names were really the fishing.
The
names,
owners of the operation.
The owner of the operation. Yeah.
Now, what kind of boats did they use?
Well, years ago, they used a certain style of boat. Back in the 20s, they used to set a lot of pond nets. And they had a certain type of boat that they used for this pond net, you know.
Is that pond?
Pond, P-O-N-D, pond nets.
Mm-hmm, yes.
And then they fished a lot of what they call hook nets. They used a smaller type boat, such as a 16-foot boat, you know, for hook nets. And then they went and started going into sub fishing, what they called a submarine net. These pond nets.
Well, I was going to say, now, I don't know a thing about fishing, and maybe you should describe a pond net.
Well, a pond net is a big net that comes to the top of the water and sticks out, the pot sticks out of the top. And it's set with stakes. They use a driver, and they used to drive stakes and then hang this net on these stakes.
And they would set that out in the bay?
Yes, that would be set out into the bay. And,
it would stay there?
It would stay there for months, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then they started a new type of a net.
Well, how would the fish be caught in that net then?
Well, it had a leader. This net had a leader, and it had a set of hearts and a pot.
Now, what are all of these terms?
Well, they're something that traps those fish.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yes. You see, there's a set of hearts there, and then back of the hearts is a pot, which that is the last thing. And from these hearts to this pot, there is tunnels that go in there. And when they get through those tunnels, it was hard for them to find the way back out.
Now, what was this heart shape like?
Well, it was really two double wings that was set out off of the pot,
mm-hmm.
to sort of make a trap. That was the first, what they called the first thing to trap that fish.
This was all attached to this large net that was
yes.
staked out there.
Well, then they started fishing a new type of net called a submarine net. This net was not set with stakes, it was set with anchors. And it was well buoyed, and it had irons on the bottom and buoys on top. And it was set with anchors.
As opposed to the stakes that the other...
Opposed to the stakes, yes. There was no more stakes used on them nets, on the submarine net.
Now, if you went out in the bay and set your stakes, this belonged to you. Other fishermen couldn't come and
no,
fish on your
no,
stakes
no,
if you
your,
set your stakes.
Your private property.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well then, tell us more about the submarine net then.
Well, the submarine was built more or less on the same order, only it was covered bottom and top. So those fish could not get out.
Mm-hmm.
And
now, were the fish caught in the net or in other little? Was it the same way as you said with the pond net?
On the same scale as the pond net, only as I say, this net was covered, all covered, bottom and top. Where a pond net was. The pot was open on top and
mm-hmm.
came up and was about to out of water, you
mm-hmm.
see.
Mm-hmm.
And that hung there on those stakes.
And now, did you tell me a third type of net?
Just the submarine, no. The third type, we also fished gill nets, you know.
Yes, well, what is it? What is a
gill net is just something that the fish get their head into and can't
This, I think this is the about the only idea of a fishnet I have had is the gill net.
Yeah.
Now, how do you, well, how would you string out a gill net, or what is involved in the operation with the gill net?
Well, you just, it's one long line of net. Then you put an anchor on each end, stretch it out, put an anchor on each end, and then you go there and pick it up and take the fish out and drop it down again.
And this is, and so when I asked you before what kind of boat you used a different type of boat with a different type of net, is that what
more
you
or less, yes. The submarine net, you had to build what we call a sub boat.
Mm-hmm.
For lifting net, because you hold your net over the top of the back of the boat in order to lift it. See?
Mm-hmm.
And there was a boat that varied from about 28 to 35, 40 feet long, a submarine boat.
And now when you had how were the fish actually caught, and when you would bring your nets in? Now I can understand the operation of the gill net, but with this pond net and the other net in the submarine, where actually were the fish caught? Were they in
the pot? They were caught in the pot, and you would
What is this pot like? I mean, what is that? Is that made of net?
Oh yeah, that's all net, and you would go in there, loosen up, and start shoaling. You would shoal that them fish all to one corner of the pot.
Oh yes.
And then you would take what they call a scoop net and scoop them fish out.
Oh, and sort of a, like what? Mm-hmm. What do they have for sport fishing now? That
little scoop net.
Yeah. Okay.
yeah, and then you would shoal those fish all in one corner.
Yes.
Or in one corner of the pot. And then one man would bail those fish out and put them in a fish box. And there they would be sorted, you know.
And the fish box was attached to the back of your boat.
Well, it was loose.
Mm-hmm. And it was in the water, and so the fish were all still alive?
No.
Oh.
You took the fish out of the water and put it in this fish box, which
okay.
was in the boat.
After this, then they are not in the water.
No. And you would sort out the legal fish and then dump the box with the fish that's left back in the lake unharmed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So at that point, the fish were still alive.
Oh, yes.
And
very much
go
so.
Back.
Very much.
And, well, why don't you describe then how, what is all involved or what you would go through if you went out on a day's operation? Why don't you start right from the beginning and tell us all the preliminary work? I imagine there are things that you have to do ahead of time.
Yes, one thing you had to do ahead of time is have ice, ground ice, you know. In the warm weather, you always carried
now
some
ice. Now let's see, you had your fish houses.
Yes.
On the bank of, and your ice was there.
Well, we got the ice out of the lake in the first place, put it in an ice house.
That's another operation we should talk about. We'll talk about the end about making ice.
Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then you had a separate ice house.
Yes.
Yes.
Separate ice house. And that was filled in the wintertime, and as we needed ice for the packed fish, we got.
So you're going out fishing one morning, and now does the weather have to be just right in order for you to make a fishing run?
Well, truthfully speaking, it there's a limit to how much wind you can take.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But we get lifted in a pretty heavy breeze.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, why don't you go ahead then and tell us now. You had to, the first thing you do in the morning then is grind ice.
No, we grind that rule at night. We
oh. Mm-hmm.
We have that all ground up at night if it takes till 3 o'clock.
And how did you do this now?
In the morning, why?
How was your, what did you use for an ice grinder?
Well, we have a regular ice grinder. Yeah.
Well, sort of describe this a little bit.
Well, the ice crusher is run with electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a teeth in, and it crushes the ice fine.
How large a chunk of ice did you put in?
Oh, you could put in 50-pound chunk of ice.
And then
at one time, you know what I mean?
In your crusher.
That was just a continuation, mm-hmm. you know.
It will handle 50 pounds at one time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I would say that you could grind a ton of ice in 20 minutes.
Mm.
You know, for mm-hmm. the crusher.
So then you stored that in boxes, or?
We had a big ice box.
Okay, so this was done the night
before.
We
had an ice box, possibly hold 3-4 ton of ice.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Fresh.
So then this was done the night before. was the night before.
Yeah, this was the night before, and then in the morning, if the weather was warm, we took crushed ice with us, several boxes of crushed ice along to put on the fish to keep them fresh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So then.
And then this here morning, this day started about 5 o'clock in the morning. And we would go and lift. And during the season, when the season really was on its tip, we possibly averaged pretty well to 2 ton of walleyes a day on the boat.
But now when you left, you went out in the bay, and your nets were all wound around?
Oh no, the nets were out
in the
bay.
Oh, the nets were out, yes.
They were
set. Okay.
Yeah, these nets all get set out in the bay
mm-hmm.
in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And they stay there till you get done fishing, and then you bring your nets home.
Mm-hmm.
But you go out there and you'd lift so many nets till you had your load of fish.
How many nets did you usually have out there?
Well, we used to fish with one boat. We used to fish around the neighborhood of 20 nets.
Mm-hmm. So then you'd go out there, out, and start lifting nets.
Yes. And when we'd lift till we get a load of fish that we figured was enough.
Now, what mechanism is on your boat?
Well, that was our boat. We lifted them. Practically all by hand, you know, it was all hand work.
Uh-huh.
You know, some of them, Bayport, they use a lot of winches on their boat due to the fact that they set a different net than we did, you see, because they used what they call a spring net,
mm.
and they had to have a winch to force that up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, this is probably what I was thinking of, that you had some mechanism, but you lifted by hand.
Yes, we downhauled our nets. See, what we call a downhaul. You loosened your net. When you got there, there was one pole sticking up there. And you loosened the line on that, and that slacked off your net. And when you got done lifting, then you tightened that net back again with the same line and fastened it on the top of the pole so your net was absolutely stretched tight.
And then this was the process where you mentioned earlier then, the fish would all go to one end of the net, and then you dip them out.
We forced them to go to the. We shoaled them. You
now
had a loose net.
How did you shoal them?
You had a loose net, and you just pulled the slack, you see, and forced them back, so you had them all back to one corner of the net where you mm-hmm. could had them all shoaled. You could reach in there with a scaff net and
and then,
take them out.
So then you put them in your fish box.
Sorted them.
You sorted them. And you threw the fish in the lake.
The number two fish back in the lake.
Back in the lake. And then what did you do with the fish you kept?
We brought them home.
But how did you, did you pack them in ice right then, or?
Just slightly, no. Just to put a little ice on. Just enough
because
to keep
them.
Because
you said
them.
You did take some ice out with you, maybe.
Uh-huh. And then we naturally, when we got home, then fish was taken in the fish house.
Mm-hmm.
And they was weighed. There was so many pounds in each box. At one time, we used to pack 80 pounds in a box, 100 pounds in a box. And then finally, it seemed to work better by only packing 60 pounds in a box.
Mm-hmm.
food. And then there was ice put on the bottom of those boxes, fish, 60 pounds of fish put in there, in the box, and then ice on top of that again. And then there was a cover put on, and they were ready for shipping.
Mm-hmm. And then where were they shipped?
Mostly to New York. There was some went to Detroit, some to Chicago, but the majority of them went to New York.
Well, now, you would go out one day, would all the fishermen in this area go out, and would you, how did, you didn't send one box to New York, what else was involved? I mean,
well, those fish were all shipped. If you had 2 ton of fish,
mm-hmm.
you probably had 70, 80 boxes of fish to ship that day.
Okay, and then did you ship yours individually, or were
all
the other?
Everybody individually, you know what
oh,
I mean.
It
but
wasn't
they could
such
be they could be all loaded in the same car. See what I mean?
Yes. Well, this is what I mean. If pitchers went out one
yes.
day, and the same day you were fishing, you probably shipped them all together in one car.
In one car.
And
yes.
and what would you say? Were there sometimes several carloads of train carloads of fish, or
oh,
was it
I
less than
say,
that? Or?
I would say there maybe as much as 2 carloads of fish would go out in one day.
One day.
And it just depends. Different times they'd be a solid carload of carp go out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe all these carp would be shipped to one place. All the fishermen would work together, you know, as a rule. And maybe they'd load a carload of carp. Each fisherman have so many ton in this car. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now let's get back in the boat. When you were sorting the fish in the boat, you said you threw the number 2 fish back in the lake, but the fish you kept in your boat, were there several kinds of fish?
They were mostly walleyes, mostly walleyes.
Years
in the
ago.
Spring of the year, yeah. In the spring, when the walleye season was on, what we call the spawn season, the walleyes all more or less came up in Saginaw Bay to spawn.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they called the walleye season.
Yes. And so then, and actually, the kinds of fish depended a lot on the season of the year.
Yes.
So in the spring, you had walleyes?
We had walleyes, and we had maybe a few carp, and maybe a few suckers, and catfish, and sauger pike. We used to catch a lot of sauger pike.
Well, now, what is that like? Describe that.
Well, that's a smaller fish. A large sauger pike could maybe weigh 2 pounds.
Is that like a northern?
Yes.
A northern pike?
Yes.
Now,
similar.
You said the whitefish came to Saginaw Bay to spawn.
Walleyes.
The walleyes. Where, this is just the time of year in the spring that they would collect in Saginaw Bay. The rest of the time they would be out in the other Great Lakes then?
Yes, they'd be out in deeper water.
And then at that time you didn't catch too many walleye.
Not many.
Here.
There's always some stragglers, but then there's always a certain season when the walleye came in Saginaw Bay to spawn. They really were plentiful at one time.
Mm-hmm. Now, are there different kinds of fish that are fished nowadays? Then you said the walleyes are gone, right? The
yes.
walleyes are gone.
They're practically distinct.
Mm-hmm.
There's many different kinds of fish. There's carp. The bay is full of carp. There's suckers. But now, those cheap fish, you can't afford to ship them. The transportation is too high.
Mm-hmm.
You
what
know?
Do you mean a cheap fish?
Well, cheap fish is in the neighborhood of 5-6 cents a pound, 4-5-6 cents.
People don't like them to eat too well? Is this?
No, it's not that, but certain places, there's a big demand for carp in New York City, but there's still a cheap fish in New York. And the transportation don't allow you to catch them and ship them, see? That also goes for suckers, you know.
What area of the bay do you use to use for your fishing operation?
Well, what area? We could fish in Sibwing Bay at one time. Yeah, it's closed
Sibwing
now.
Bay. Now,
Sibwing Bay.
Where is that now?
Well, that's inside the island. There's a row of islands out here. And
yes,
back
what are those islands called?
Well, those are, there's the Lone Tree, Pitcher's Reef, the Defoe, the Maju, the Heisterman, North Island. There's that row of islands.
Yes.
And part of that, we could fish
inside
Saginaw Bay.
Inside that is called Sibwing Bay?
Sibwing Bay, yes.
And where is Wildfowl Bay?
Well, Wildfowl Bay always was closed waters all my days. You could not fish in Wildfowl Bay.
Oh, I see.
That's in Wildfowl Bay is inside of the, well, inside of the Defoe, Maju and Heisterman and North Island is called Wildfowl Bay.
Okay, that's off limits for fishing.
That's off limits for fishing, yes.
So you could fish in the Sibwing Bay.
Sibwing Bay.
And where else?
And outside of the islands, which is Saginaw Bay, we could set nets anywheres 1 mile offshore.
It had to be, now you mean 1 mile, you had to be 1 mile offshore, more than 1 mile,
no.
Or you couldn't be beyond
you,
that?
You could fish from the islands, you could fish well out.
But not?
Not further, then that was closed waters again, see?
Mm-hmm.
And then you could go out over the Corian Reef.
Now where is that?
Well, that's a reef that extends from Bay City, practically from Bay City, to Sand Point.
Mm-hmm.
And you could fish out there another mile out, you know what I mean?
Beyond
that Corian Reef, you could fish another mile.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest was closed waters again.
Now, did you go near Bay City with your fishing operation?
No.
Were there other fishermen in that area that fished?
Oh, yes. Bay City. And then there was Bayport fished.
Yes, that's what I was going to come to. I know that Bayport is also a fishing area. Was Bayport a larger fishing area than the Sibwing?
At one time, Bayport was one of the largest fishing ports in Saginaw or
in the Great Lakes.
Great Lakes, yes.
What were the companies?
They had two large companies.
They
yeah.
had companies as opposed to the individual
yes,
fishermen of Sibwing.
We had individual little fishing companies here, and they more or less had two large companies down there, which was the Bayport Fish Company and the Gillingham Fish Company.
Mm-hmm. And now, you said before that they probably fished in a little different way than you did. Did they have larger boats?
Well, no, they really didn't have larger boats.